Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the Dragons Are Real podcast. Now, as you know, I've been covering the Advanced 5e Level Up by Enmul Publishing, and I'm yet to do the third book, but I'm going to have a bit of a break and do something a little bit different. Again, by Enmul Publishing, I've just got my hands on the Awfully Cheerful engine by Russ Morrissey, so today we're going to have a look at this. Now, the Awful Cheerful engine was released in 2021 via a Kickstarter. That's the core rules and 8 supplements. So the supplements being Spirits of Manhattan, which is their Ghostbuster setting, Montana Drones and the Raiders of the Cutty Sark, which is obviously Indiana Jones, Strange Science, which is their X-Files Eureka setting, Beam Me Up, which is their Star Trek and sci-fi setting, Orcs and Oubliettes, a fantasy setting in the style of Terry Pratchett, Fight Me, a Hammer House of Horror type setting, Domes of Thunder, which is a post-apocalyptic Mad Max setting, and Accidental Anthropomorphic Animal Heroes, which is obviously Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, this system is based on, or inspired by, the D6 system by West End Games. And for those who aren't familiar, let's have a bit of a history lesson by West End Games and their D6 system. So the first game in their D6 system was back in 1986 with the Ghostbusters, a frightfully cheerful role-playing game. So you can see where the inspiration has come from. This was followed in 1987 by their Star Wars system, D6 system. And this is probably the most famous of all their IP. And it is a great system for playing Star Wars, and in my opinion, it's still the best Star Wars system out there. So you, Genesis. And when they Lucasfilm decided to do those awful prequels, episodes 1, 2, and 3, they were advised, the producers and directors were advised to go and dig out the West End Games Star Wars supplements, because there was a lot of canon in them and they'd done some great work. Next up was 1994. They did the Indiana Jones RPG. Funny enough, this is the second RPG about Indiana Jones, the first one being by TSR in 1984. In 1997, they bought out the Men in Black, the role-playing game, and all these systems were using their D6 system. Then in 1997, they bought out Hercules and Xena, and they changed the D6 system slightly. In the past, it was always roll your D6 and add all the pips together. When it came to Hercules and Xena and the following systems, they switched to Legends, which was basically you roll your dice and each 3, 4, 5 or 6 is a success. This was followed up in 1999 by the DC Universe role-playing game. Sales after that of their D6 system were in decline, and to be honest, West End Games were in a lot of trouble, so they decided to release the D6 rules as an OGL and created the Open D6 system. In 2010, there was the Mini 6 system by Anti-Paladin Games, and basically the authors of this took all the best bits of the D6 system and put them into one volume. They tried to bring up to modern standards, they simplified some things and made it a nice generic system, and also incorporated some of the options. Which takes us all round back to the Awfully Cheerful engine after that history lesson. This system is inspired by the original of those games, the Ghostbusters RPG. In the introduction, we have 3 chapters, and it covers about 35-36 pages. We have creating the hero, how to play, and the extras and adventures for the GM, or as they call it in this, director. So there is a light-hearted foreword by Sandy Peterson, the original author of the Ghostbusters RPG, which takes us on to a 3-page introduction of what is a role-playing game for newcomers. This is followed up by how to create your hero, and there are 6 simple steps. Firstly, you choose your role, then you spend 12 points between your 4 stats, and each stat is a number between 1 and 5. For each stat, you write down 1 focus, you work out your defense and your health, you choose a trait, and then you give the character a name. And the character sheet on this can be as simple as an index card, so it is a nice simple system. So the heart of the matter is roles, or your archetypes, or your classes, and these are divided into different categories for you to help you choose. And each of these roles has a special ability. So the first category is talking animals, and you get a choice of six talking animals. Then you've got a species, and this covers everything from horror, fantasy, and science fiction. So for example, if you want to play a goblin, you are a vicious little scrapper. You can snatch small items from your opponent instead of attacking. And each of these has a nice little flavor special ability. Then we have the fantasy category, which has a list of classes, as probably known in other famous RPGs. Then we have occupations, and there's a long list of occupations. So for example, if you want to be a burglar, sneaky does it, up that wall, through the window, crack the safe, locks mean nothing to you. So we've got a couple of pages of occupations, and finally we end off with two different types of superheroes. So as I said, your role, it gives you one special ability. Now, if you want two roles, say for example, you want to be a dwarf soldier, then you can do that. And all you do is you pick one of the two special abilities, whether it be from the dwarf side or from the soldier side. Now we get onto the four stats. And as I said before, you put 12 points into the stats, and each stat must be between 1 and 5. Your four stats are smarts, which is how clever you are, your intelligence. It's your moves, which is your agility and dexterity, and is also used for ranged combat and your defense. Style, which is your charisma. And finally, brawn, which is how strong and tough you are, and is also used for melee combat. There is a fifth stat called power, but that is not in every setting, and that is for powering your magic, your psychic abilities. Then we come on to the focus. You pick four focuses, one focus for each of your stats. And basically all a focus does is, if it's applicable, it gives you another two dice. And the way the system works is, for each number in a stat you've got, you pick up that many d6. So for example, your brawn is 4, you pick up 4 dice and roll them. And if you had an applicable focus for the brawn, then it would add you another 2 dice. There's a list of focuses for each of the 5 stats. So for example, in brawn, you've got things like brawling, bodybuilding, breaking stuff, construction. You get the general idea. You're not limited to those focuses. If you think of something that would fit in, and have a word with your GM, and then slip it in. Your defense and your health are calculated from your other stats. So your health is equal to your brawn stat, and if you've got the tough focus, you add 2 to your health. Your defense is your moves multiplied by 3, and if you've got the dodging focus, you add 6. And the lowest your defense can be is 8. So if you've only got 1 in moves, then your defense would be 3, but that's bumped up automatically to an 8. And finally, before you pick the name, you pick a trait, and the trait would be your hindrance in savage worlds. It's your one negative thing, and this helps you earn karma. And there is a list of traits, things like angry, cautious, cowardly. So what is karma? So karma is your fate points, or your bennies, and you start with 6 of them. And you spend these points in the game for various effects. So each karma you spend, you can add an extra dice to a dice roll. You can reduce damage from an attack. You can negate the calamity dice, and we'll come up to the calamity dice in a short while. You can investigate a flashback. And if you've picked the power trait, it powers the power trait, so to be. So the more power karma points you spend, the better your power. How do you regain karma? Well, that's what your trait comes in, or your hindrance. By reenacting that, that's the way you get your karma back. Gear is hand wave. Basically, you start off with the stuff that your role would have. So, for example, if you are a soldier, you would come with a uniform and a weapon. If you were a thief, you would come with your lockpicks and a disguise. Money is not tracked at all in the awful Chiffle engine. But they say if you do need to figure out how a character acquires something, then basically you roll your style against a difficulty. And currency is whatever currency is for your setting, whether it be dollars, pounds, credits. And there's 5 layers, which corresponds to the difficulty. There's up to 10 currency, up to 1,000, up to 10,000, up to 100,000, and up to 1 million. And you roll against a difficulty, and if you get to the roll, then you acquire what you're after. And for each of the five categories, they give you some examples of what you can expect. So, for example, a hard category would be things like a horse or magic armor or a magic sword, and you get that sort of idea. When it comes to advancement, at the each of adventure, you can increase one of your stats by 1 point, or you can learn one new focus. And obviously, if your brawn or moves increases, that also affects your health or your defense. So this takes us on to chapter 2, how to play. So as I said before, basically you take a number of dice equal to your stat. If you've got a focus, then you add 2 more to that dice pool, and you roll the dice and add the dice together, and that is your score. You have to beat a difficulty number, and the difficulty is set by the director prior to your rolling. And if it's easy, you don't need to roll. If it's a normal difficulty, you need a target number of 10 or more. If it's a hard difficulty, you need 20 or more, Herculean 30 or more, and impossible 40 or more. Any sixes that you roll explode, so you roll a 6, pick up another dice, roll that, and keep rolling till there are no more sixes on the table. So as you can see, this is quite a heroic game where you can get some outlandish results. Now, you're not always rolling against a set difficulty number. If you are opposing an NPC or another character, then you will be rolling against them. And basically, you roll the number of dice by your stats, and whoever rolls the highest wins. The director can add dice to your dice pool for circumstances. So if you've got an advantage or something that's helping you, you can add dice. Now, the calamity dice is one dice out of your dice pool, which is a different colour. And the only time this comes into effect is if your dice roll as a whole fails. So if you fail at a dice roll, you then look at your calamity dice, and if that is a 1, then a calamity occurs, and you and the director around the table work out what the calamity is, or if you think of the consequence in Powered by the Apocalypse games. When it comes to fighting, you roll your move stats for ranged combat, your brawn stats for melee combat, and instead of rolling for the target each time, you use their defense, which is obviously being multiplied by the moves, so that speeds things up. Just look at the defense stat, and if you beat it, you hit. You've got modifiers there, 3 different modifiers there, whether you're long range, high ground, or prone. If you haven't got a weapon, then you cause 1 damage unarmed for each 5 points you got in a stat. So if your brawn stat is 1 to 5, you cause 1 point. If your brawn is between 16 and 20, then that would be 4 points. There's a list of about 10, 12 different weapons with some example damages to give you an idea. Remember, this is a set of core rules, so it's just giving you some general ideas. You can work this out with your players. When it comes to recovery, you regain 1 health per day, or if you're receiving medical attention or someone is aiding you with the medicine focus, then you regain 2 health a day. Otherwise, you've got to use some healing abilities. When it comes to initiative, again, they've kept it really nice and simple. They use a popcorn initiative. So basically, whoever has got the highest move stat goes first, and they take an action. Then they decide who goes next, whether it's another character or an NPC. And this continues throughout the round. So once you've picked up someone from your side, if you want further actions on your side, you can do so, or you can hand it over to the director. And at the end of the round, we start a new round with the highest move stat going first again. So what can you do on your turn? Well, basically, you get 1 action, and this action is a move and do something, or a do something and move. If you want to use magic, that is when the power stat comes in. So if you haven't got a power stat, then you can't do magic. And basically, with your power stat, you can do whatever you do with your normal stats, and use your power stat. But the proviso is, well, if you use it, then you've got to spend 1 point of karma. So this somewhat limits your use of your power. The number of karma you spend on your power is also how strong it is. and also how much damage it causes. So if you want to do a powerful effect and you spend 3 karma on it, if you're successful, then you will do 3 damage. And it's also the same for healing. So what is power? Well, it's whatever you want in your world, and you decide whether it's magic, sorcery, faith, psionics, the force, whatever it is, you decide and just give it some nice flavour. This takes us nicely on to chapter 3, which is a list of extras. And extras are the start off as mooks, and then you can add to them. And this is a really simple way of creating your bad guys and NPCs. So your basic mook starts out with 2 in each of the 4 stats, a health of 1, a defense of 8. And they're also given a brawling of 2, which causes 1 damage. You can also add any focus to 1 stat, and that is your basic NPCs, your civilians, your ne'er-do-wells. Then we've got a number of pages of example NPCs. So we've got things like a bear, which is always useful for monsters. A bear is a smarts 1, moves 1, style 2, brawn 8, health 8, defense 8, and claws of 8, which causes 2 damage. We've got things like cop, dark lord, dragon, giant spiders, necromancers, orcs, soldiers, trolls, vampires, wolves, and zombies. So a nice broad selection to get you going, and that will give you some inspiration for creating your own NPCs with this core engine. And I'm sure the supplements will come out with a host of new extras you can add into your game. And it looks as if these extra supplements are going to be released over the next several months and will appear on Drive-Thru if you didn't back the Kickstarter. Then there's a quick section, a very short couple of paragraphs on how to run an adventure. And then what I always like to see in a set of rules is the inspiration for these rules. Well, we already know Ghostbusters in there, but other inspirations are Danger Mouse, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Back to the Future, Bill and Ted, Rick and Morty, Terry Pratchett's Discworld, Star Trek, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So you can see the sort of vibe they're going for. So if you want a serious game, yeah, this probably isn't for you, but if you want a light-hearted game with your friends, which is nice and quick to run, then this looks as if it's going to fit the bill. Personally, I really like what Russ has done with the D6 system. He's modernized it for the 2000s. He simplified it. And I think this is a great game for one-shots or short campaigns where you maybe you turn up at a games night and something's fallen through. You can just pick this up. A couple of minutes, you've got characters and you're up and running. Really easy for the director to create NPCs and extras. So for me, it's a big thumbs up. If you like the D6 system, or if you want a nice light system, I can highly recommend this. And it looks as if some of these supplements coming out are going to be really good. So that's all for this episode. Thanks for watching and listening. I'll catch you all on the flip side.